Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
Hey, church, our scripture lesson for this morning is taken from Acts chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, feel free to turn. You can turn in your phones very quickly. If you want to hold a Bible in your hands in English, the ones in blue are the ones in front of you, are the ones in English. We'll be reading from Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. You can remain seated while I read the word of God. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together. What are we going to do about these men, they asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Let me pray for us, church. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can pause and gather on this morning amidst the hustle and bustle of our lives and jobs and schools with the kids and open or closed and what's happening in our nation. Father, thank you that we can just stop, that we could just stop and be at peace here. That we can just stop and just focus in on you here. That we can just stop and hear your voice here amidst all of the noise around us. So Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just bless us in such a way that we would hear your voice this morning. That it would be your truth. That it would be what you want for us today. Fill this place with your presence. Let us experience you. Let us taste of your goodness and of your love. So, Father, we pray, speak to us. Be here. We want to hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, church, it's so good to see so many of you once again. I know that we're getting back into the normal swing of things little by little. We welcome those who are watching from home. We know that there are many individuals with young ones with conditions and they themselves, so they can't make it. So we thank you for joining us and thank you for tuning in every Sunday. Thank you for those who are here for blessing us with your presence. So we arrive at basically chapter 4 of our series. What have we looked at so far? We have seen Noah face an insurmountable, what seemed like an insurmountable challenge, right? God puts before him, build an ark. So we talked about how the fearless person takes on that insurmountable challenge because they know it's God's will for their life. We looked then at Gideon. Gideon was a guy who was in a hole in the ground. He was afraid of the enemy. God goes to find him in the hole in the ground, pulls him out, makes him the commander of Israel, gives him a rousing victory over enemies that were closing in. How God builds the fearless character in us, how he takes us from fearful to fearless. And then last week we looked at Nehemiah. Nehemiah surrounded on all sides by enemies who want to destroy Israel. He's trying to very quickly rebuild the wall around that city. And we saw how God creates a character of fearlessness in this man. So if you take those three messages and you put them together, you arrive at the message for today. Here you saw Peter facing off with a group of people, which I'll fill you in just a moment of who they were. And this is the fearless character now at work. So let me set it up for you. Let's find ourselves in Scripture. Where are we? Jesus has been crucified. He has appeared for 50 days. He has ascended now. That's Matthew 28, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 2 is Pentecost. The Spirit is poured out. Peter and the disciples preach the first gospel out to the people. There are people in Jerusalem from all over the Roman Empire to celebrate Pentecost. It was very close to Passover, so a lot of people came for both festivals. 3,000 say yes to Jesus. So now you have a church on your hands. And now the first thing that happens after that church comes together, they're having Bible study, they're worshiping, they're fellowshiping together. The first thing that happens after that, Peter and John are on their way to the temple. And there's a crippled man who's been laying there pretty much his entire life asking people for money. And there's that famous phrase that Peter says, "Gold and silver I do not have, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk." And guess what? The man got up and walked. And now all of a sudden you would expect that people would be happy. You would expect that the religious leaders would say, "Wow, this is awesome. This is wonderful. Look what's happening." No. They get tossed in jail for the entire night. The commotion had attracted a huge amount of people. I think we have a picture of the temple. We'll show it to you here on your screens at home, and we'll show it to you here inside the church. There is, I know it's hard to see, it's kind of small, but if you can see off to your left over here, it says Beautiful Gate. You see it off to your left, Beautiful Gate, and it's pointing an arrow down to the main gate at the very bottom of your screens. You can kind of see it right there. That was the barrier between the court of the Gentiles on the outside, the people who are non-Jews, to the court of the women. It was to the women, to the men, to the priests. So we're kind of on the outer edge of the temple. That was called the Gate Beautiful. And that's where that man is sitting, and that's where that man is healed. And it creates this huge commotion because in the court of the Gentiles, along the outer edges of the temple, is where the traders were, the money traders. They would sell you a pigeon for sacrifice. You could exchange money there. You can buy some products. It was almost like a Walmart along the edge of the church, as I referred to it before. And it's at that gate as Peter and John are making their way through it to pass through the court of the women, to pass into the court of the men, that the man is healed. So this huge crowd, right, would have come together at this particular gate that you see right there at the bottom of your screen. And again, you would expect it to be something positive. People are happy. He is walking, and we're excited, and it gets him thrown in jail. Very simple point this morning to start off. There is a price to pay sometimes for goodness. What do I mean by that? In your life and in your walk, especially if you're a believer, if you're a believer and you truly want to walk with Christ, if you want to honor Christ, you are going to naturally, because you've been given so much in Christ, you're going to want to give. You're going to want to bless. You're going to want to help out another. And what we see here in this instance, they fearlessly blessed this man. He was crippled. Peter, he could have been afraid to say the words. He could have been afraid to extend a hand to pick him up, but he took that step of faith. And in the name of Christ, he raises this man up, and the man is now standing next to them, and they get punished for it. There are times in our lives, many times, that you will bless others, you will extend yourself for others, you will, what's the phrase, bend over backwards for someone else, where you will take out of your own pocket and bless someone, and then when push comes to shove, and you think, and maybe you're going through your moment, and maybe you're going through your trials, and you expect something in return, crickets. No help. And you say to yourself, "Man, well, that's unfair." Well, that's also part of the Christian walk. Don't be surprised that they were treated this way. Think about how Jesus was treated. What did Jesus always say? Servant is not greater than the master. They do this to me, they're going to do it to you as well. Think about the disciples for a second. How much did Jesus do for the disciples? 3 years. It wasn't the disciples. Let's make sure we understand this. This wasn't like, "Hey, Peter, John, and the other 10, I'll meet you on Thursday. We'll do Bible study, and then we're going to take a little walk around, and we're going to knock on some doors." That's not how this worked. This was every single day for 3.5 years. Jesus walking with these men. They witnessed the miracle of the bread and the fish. They ate it. They saw Peter take steps on water. We'll get to Peter in a second. They saw these things. They saw Jesus walk out of a house with a dead little girl holding her hand. They saw Lazarus walk out of a tomb. Day in and day night, they had campfires under trees together, stories that were not even in the scripture. because you can't copy down every single thing that happened every single day. They were together in close quarters every single day, 24/7 for 3.5 years. And when the guards came, and it wasn't even the Roman guards, it was like the palace guards, kind of like the people you see here in this text. When they came with Judas to arrest them, what did the disciples do? They ran. That's 3.5 years for you of sacrifice, of daily, of Jesus teaching, of you witnessing miracles. He heals lepers. He hears the blind. People can't hear. Now they hear. People can't talk. Now they talk. You're seeing this. And after 3.5 years of that, they ran. But then even more, push it a little bit further. They run. What had Peter said that same night? They will all abandon you, but I never will. So here is Jesus. He follows Jesus, right? Jesus is inside the home of the high priest, and they're slapping him in the face, and he's not answering. And he's in the little courtyard, and you can see him through a window. They can see each other through a window. How many times did he deny him? 3. You were with him. Oh, no. You got me for mistake for somebody else. You know, he starts mumbling, rambling. And somebody, a little kid walks by. He's afraid of children. They're little servant boys and girls that are passing by. Aren't you? I hear your accent. You sound different. You're not from this place. You know? No. I never knew you. 3 times. 3 times. So, church, what I said to you is what happened to them here. Peter and John are guilty of doing something good. Peter and John are thrown in jail for doing something good. They're ignored. They're tossed in there for an entire night away from their families for doing something right. And here's the beauty of walking with Christ. As you bless others, as you help others, expect nothing in return. Jesus came to this earth only expecting what the Father was going to give him. The people that God would call towards him, that's all he expected. He expected nothing else. So, church, as you bless and as you help and as you serve, do so like your Savior with no thought of reward. So that's the ungrateful part. Then comes the persecution part. I think I can say this now out loud because we all understand it. We are walking in today's where it is no longer easy nor popular nor accepted to be a Christian in our own country. So now you have some individuals, right, who want to kind of keep Jesus under wraps. You got to be careful. I might lose my job. I got to be careful. I can't speak up. I got to be careful what I post. There are people who have posted things online, whether they're political or religious, and they've lost their jobs. So we're stepping into that kind of an environment. What will we do? How will we respond? How will the fearless Christian respond? Let me tell you what Jesus says so you just know that to prepare yourself. John chapter 15, this is Jesus. We don't have it behind you. I'll just read it to you. If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it will love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. So there's a positive there. They will treat you this way, listen, church, because of my name. For they do not know the one who sent me. A world that does not know the Father, a world that has not tasted the grace of God at the cross, can't be grateful. Oh, you'll get thank yous along the way. You'll get lots of those. And you'll get a pat on the back, and you'll get, hey, you can count. And you'll be able to count on person, people here and there. But full-on gratitude, full-on I'm there no matter what, you're not going to get it. A sinful world that does not know the Father cannot give that to you. So there's two sides to the coin. There is a sense of, we can term it ungratefulness. Let's just say it's just the human being, the Adam and Eve running through their veins. You will help and you will bend over backwards. You will bless as Peter and John did and you won't get anything in return. And then on the other side of it, standing for his name also brings a price with it. A price that we must be willing to pay. And here's what the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul always said, rejoice when you enter into the sufferings of Christ. Why would he ever say something like that? Very simple. When you begin to taste what, I guess we'll put it in quotes, the ungratefulness of individuals of the world, when you begin to taste the persecution of the world, then that is proof to you, Paul says, that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. You're standing out. You're different. There is something happening in your life that the world says, oh, I don't know what's wrong with this person, but we can't have them be part of our group. That Paul says, that's the proof. That's the proof that you're walking with Jesus when you don't fit in. That's the proof that you're walking with Jesus when they want to tear you down. That's the proof that you're walking with Jesus when you get nothing in return. And Paul says, rejoice in that. Because now you have your evidence. Now you don't have to like scratch your head and say, wow, I wonder if I'm really walking with Christ. I wonder if the Holy Spirit is at work in my life. Let me call the pastor and ask him. Or let me. Now you know. Now you know. Now you know that he's at work. Because all of a sudden you don't fit in anymore. All of a sudden you receive persecution, not blessing. You're getting tossed in someone's jail, right? You're getting unfriended. You're getting pushed out of the club. Or you're not invited to the birthday party. You know, whatever it might be. Because of Jesus, because of the way that your character is being shaped. There was an old bishop, this was something funny I came across in my readings that I wanted to read to you. A bishop that was called Sheen, they only said his last name. You know what he said about people being ungrateful and knocking you down when they're persecuting you and tearing you down? He said this, one advantage of being thrown on your back, you're facing heaven. So when that happens to you, you're looking in the right direction. Everything's going to be okay. The Lord is with you. As far as it goes for you, church, if Christ is supreme in your life, if you're worried about God being glorified, you're going to meet resistance, you're going to meet ungratefulness, but that means the confirmation is that Christ is working in and through you. Church, expect nothing in return, but continue to bless and continue to love. Continue to love and bless no matter what. Our second point, these are snippets this morning, the name. So here's where the rulers come in, and they say, by what power or name are you doing this? First, I want you to understand the scene. Here you have a bunch of names. You have Annas. Annas is an old guy. Think of a grandpa with a big beard. And he is the former high priest. He's the guy who used to be in charge of the temple and the sacrifices. His son-in-law, Caiaphas, standing over here, is really the high priest. But everybody knows who's in charge of the country. It's Annas. So Annas is standing in the middle. And you have Caiaphas and Alexander and John over here with the high priest family. So you have a semicircle behind Annas. Behind him now, you have basically elders and teachers of the law, and then back there you have some of the rulers of the people. So you have basically three rows of people staring at Peter and John. And here's the thing. When they said, in whose name did you do this? To us, that sounds normal. That's not normal. They're actually going after Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13 says, if you say any other name other than Yahweh, Jehovah, our God, you die. That's the corner they're trying to put them in. But let's take it a little bit further. This group of people, these three waves of people that are staring at Peter and John, those are the same three waves of people that put Jesus on a cross. This is the Supreme Court of the Jews. This is who we're looking at. So Peter and John now, they're taking their life into their own hands because they're staring at the same faces who less than 2 months ago took Jesus, turned him over to Rome, and said, put him on the cross. We don't want this guy anymore. That's who they're, the same characters. Nothing has changed. It's only been about 70, 80 days. Same people. Their life is in their hands. If they say the name of Jesus, they die. So this is one of those fight or flight moments. What is Peter going to do? Right? Because he's preached the big sermon. Right, Holy Spirit fell upon them in Pentecost. He's preached the sermon. The disciples joined him. 3,000 have joined. In the text, it says that now it was 5,000 that have been added. So this thing is becoming a monster now all of a sudden, right? But he hasn't been tested. No one has put him on the spot. No one has challenged him to his face. And now he's being challenged by the same people who killed Jesus, the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court of Jews. What is he going to do? Let me read it for you. I just want to read these verses for you again. Beginning in verse 9. We'll start there. And I just want to read it very slowly so you can take it in. This is Peter talking. We'll start in verse 8. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice it's not him. The Spirit working through him. Changing a man. So he stands out. Said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, drum roll. Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's death. They've sentenced themselves to death. That's what they're saying there. Whom you, he's pointing a finger, crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. There was a group of people called the Sadducees. And they were very cozy with Rome, and And they wanted everything to stay calm and quiet so they can live their lavish lifestyle. The Pharisees were rule keepers. These were the political side, the kind of religious political folks over here. And when he says, raised from the dead, that was one of the things that just burned them to death. So the Pharisees went against Jesus. The Sadducees will go against the disciples moving forward and the church moving forward. It says, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stones you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. But now, you know, if he's not in enough trouble, he might as well just finish off trouble. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Church, let me ask you a question. Do any of you need to pack your bags right now and go to seminary to understand what I just read? Like I did 3 years ago. Is anything, any part of this confusing to you? No, it's very simple. It's very simple. There is one name to be saved. His name is Jesus. Make a choice.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.